Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Still talking Harry Potter cover art, this is Pottercast number 84.
Wow.
84, and guess who's back?
Guess who's back?
Back who is again. That? Welcome, welcome, welcome. John Noe is back among us.
Howdy, howdy.
Yay.
Once again, I'm Melissa. I'm here with John and Sue, and this week is all about you. This week we have all your calls about the Deathly Hallows cover art. We will get to that shortly, but first...
I want to tell them a story about an awesome store called Borders, because today's podcast is brought to you by Borders. Prepare for the upcoming release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows by catching a glimpse of where it all began. During the month of April, you can purchase Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on DVD for only $14.99 at Borders. Also, be sure to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders at 40% off and get a free sticker. Choose from Trust Snape or Snape is a Very Bad Man.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We love Borders.
We do.
All is lovely. Quick announcements. We'll try and make them quick this time because we have a lot of calls to get through. Phoenix Rising. We will be at Phoenix Rising in New Orleans. Live show, May 17th. If you haven't registered, thephoenixrises.org. We're doing two fan panels there. A panel on fan podcasting, a panel on fan journalism. Our live podcast will feature Brian from Draco and the Malfoys and Matt, who is the Whomping Willows. Look, I got it right.
Yay.
Do our podcast alley voting. Vote for us on Dig.
If you don't know how to do any of those things, go to podcast.com and that'll tell you how.
Exactly, and that's all the announcements we're going to make this week because it's such a packed show. We got to go around
for Sue's News. Sue's News.
Sue's News.
We're seeing Harry in a very interesting situation, said Arthur A. Levine, U.S. editor of the Harry Potter books, as he unveiled the cover art for Book 7. In case you missed it, Scholastic, the U.S. publishers of the novels, unveiled the highly anticipated cover art from Mary Grand Pré to the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows book, which shows Harry standing in a Colosseum-type surrounding, seemingly alone under a vivid orange and white sky, but with Lord Voldemort lurking menacingly in the shadows. UK publishers Bloomsbury also unveiled their covers for the children's edition of the books, as well as the adult, with the children's edition from artist Jason Cockcroft showing Harry, Ron, and Hermione in a vault-like setting amid jewels, coins, and other treasures. The adult version features a photograph of a mysterious gold locket with a fancy engraved letter S, which has been encrusted with emeralds. You can see some wonderful high-resolution images of the artwork via our gallery or by clicking on www.leakynews.com/DH. Speaking of photographs, Warner Brothers also unveiled some new looks at the upcoming movie of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix this week, as featured in the current issue of Entertainment Weekly magazine. We saw new portraits of Luna Lovegood, played by Ivana Lynch, Ginny Weasley, as played by Bonnie Wright, Lucius Malfoy, as played by Jason Isaacs, Cho Chang, as played by Katie Ling, and Professor Umbridge, played by Imelda Staunton, as well as some of the trio. We also saw a striking new photograph including members of the DA in what seems to be the battle of the Ministry of Magic, including a new look at Neville Longbottom, who's played by Matt Lewis, as well as Dan Radcliffe as Harry Potter, who is holding the Prophecy Globe. To see these wonderful photographs and much more from the upcoming movie, you can find it all in our image galleries. In that same magazine, there was an interview with several of these cast members and a mention of a possible return to the Half-Blood Prince film director position for current Order of the Phoenix director David Yates, with the magazine saying, quote, "While nothing's finalized, Yates is expected to return for Film 6, which is slated to begin shooting this September," end quote. In other film news now, many magazines are starting to feature the upcoming Harry Potter 5th film, such as the April issue of Nickelodeon Magazine, which is holding a coming attraction sweepstake for a chance to attend the premiere of the Order of the Phoenix movie. You can find out much more information on how to enter this contest via our website. Finally, Potter actors Dan Radcliffe and Helena Bonham Carter are slated to appear in some fashion on a special edition of the wildly popular show American Idol in an episode set to raise money for those children and young people living in extreme poverty in Africa and America. It is believed that Mr. Ratcliffe's appearance will be taped, and we are trying to find out more information on that, and we will update you as soon as we can. The show called Idol Gives Back will be broadcast here in the United States on the Fox Television Network later this month on April 24th and 25th. Well, for much more on these news items and more, you can always find it at leakynews.com, which is updated with the latest from the world of Harry Potter. Guys? Wow, it has been a while since I've heard a good Suze news like that.
They're gonna use our minds and read it story at a time, because we can read all the news that she's gonna see.
John.
I love it. He's back. It's music, everyone. It's music to our ears. It's John Noe music, everyone.
And the police are coming to take him away. Can you hear
me? No, that was too loud.
I woke up the neighbors.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Podcast Sue. Thank you for all that news. We had a lot of big news. I mean, what's bigger than cover art, honestly?
What's bigger? I'll tell you what. Harry Potter cover cake.
Wow.
That is big news.
It is big news.
That girl is awesome.
You know,
but we'll hear more about that at a later show.
Curious at that?
Marge.
Marge from Maryland.
I know. Got to move over, Marge.
Marge, not to be outdone, has created a 3x life scale Scabbers cake, complete with licorice tail.
Oh, yuck.
With a silver-shaped paw with metallic frosting.
You're stealing from the rest of the show now.
It is cancerous, though.
Okay, can
paw,
I just say
so.
This?
Okay.
I have to say this because this reminds me. One of my favorite movies is Steel Magnolias because I love women of the South. And in the movie, Julia Roberts and her cake is like the groom's cake is an armadillo.
It's an armadillo.
It is.
I was thinking of the exact same thing when you said that. I wasn't going to say it. Thank goodness.
An armadillo.
And oh my God, it was the most hideous cake in the world. And when you said the Scabbers cake, there it is. There it is. Oh God.
That's,
you know what? You know what you need to make a Scabbers cake?
What? Oh no.
You need 6 eggs. That's too expensive.
All right, Beauty and the Beast, Disney guys. Come on. Jeez. What is that?
I don't know. It's a big show. It's a big show, guys.
You're back with a vengeance. I'm amazed.
It's a big show.
You're just like digging in. Okay, so outside of the cover art, which we're talking about constantly, we don't need to talk about here again.
Yeah,
we did get some other.
We got some pictures, right? Some amazing photos.
Yes, beautiful. And a new issue of Entertainment Weekly, and it should be on newsstand still. They had a new feature, and WB released these glorious high-res photos of 12 new photos or 11 new photos from the movie Order of the Phoenix. And we saw Jenny looking pretty cool, I thought.
Jenny finally looking a little better.
Jenny looks like Jenny.
You know?
She does.
She looks like Ginny, exactly.
That was huge.
Except that Ginny's supposed to have brown eyes. But I know Harry's supposed to have green eyes, so hey, what the hell?
Oh,
but
Hermione's supposed to have blue eyes.
Well.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
Hermione has brown eyes. No, she's not. She has brown eyes.
Ron's supposed to have blue eyes.
Ron is supposed to have blue eyes. Ron has blue eyes.
It's WB, everything man. We know that they don't really.
Peter Pettigrew is supposed to have brown eyes.
Anyway, you know what? Kay. What picture I really liked was there was one really great one of Harry, Luna, Hermione, I think. Neville. Yeah, speaking of Neville.
Yeah.
Neville's looking like
the
Neville.
The sextet.
Yeah. And Ginny. And with that prophecy glove thing, right? Didn't Harry have that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Holding the prophecy.
Yeah, Harry had the prophecy.
And Luna looks like she'd been through a paper shredder.
They've all like they got that are beaten up to heck.
Luna was the worst. She's worse than Harry.
So that's after their battle, right? In the ministry? I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
They must be just at the veil at that point.
Wow. Oh. I won't be able to handle that scene. But
I can't wait
for that scene. We also saw the lovely portrait of Luna, Ivana Lynch's Luna. And Melissa, wasn't she looking fab with her accessories on?
Her radish earrings, aren't they fantastic?
Yeah,
I just love them. She looks just so, I can't believe how they found this girl. Like, I can't believe it. She looks so much like her. It's scary.
They all look totally in character.
Yeah.
Friggin' sweet.
Well,
we finally have a picture of Ron in an action scene where he's not looking like he's going to run for the
I
next,
know,
you know,
Ron without a tummy ache.
Under the bed.
We'll
see if that happens in the actual film.
And then we saw the gang, the trio in the forest, too.
I feel like we've seen that picture 100 times.
Well, we've seen it in trailers, not in a big high-res.
Right.
Like
is that when they're meeting Aragog?
Grop.
Oh.
We could do without then.
Tony Maudsley.
Tony!
But I have to tell you.
The beautiful picture of Cho as well.
Oh, yeah, Cho.
Oh, can I just say it now? I've been
dying. He's looking Cho-ific.
Dying.
What, Watsu? Serious?
No, not serious, although, because he's looking, he's doing that scene with Harry. They're like reading or something, and you can see his tattoos. Gary Oldman is sure.
He's got no shirt on. I don't get it.
He's in a robe because he was a dog, and he didn't put on clothes when he's a dog because he's a dog.
Come on. I don't know what they're doing there, but... Sorry, Sue. What are you trying to say? Lucius.
My thing, my man. Finally, thank you, Warner Brothers. I'm saying it openly. Thank you for a nice, beautiful, high-res picture of Jason Isaacs and Lucius looking mighty fine with his new stylist.
I hope he's listening.
I hope he is too, Jason. You look fab. He's got this fur thing going on. He's got the cane up. Yeah. He's got this snake ring. I mean,
he's holding his cane like he just received it as like a present.
Well,
it's like,
maybe.
Hey, look at this. Is this a cane in my hand?
He loves that cane.
He
loves it.
But he just looks so, I mean, he looks like, you know that song by the Rolling Stones? Yes, allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I was just like, look at him. He just, bad. I loved it.
You're so cute.
It wasn't at all exciting for anyone.
No.
No, nobody was excited by that.
No.
So I can't believe they put Sirius shirtless.
I know.
I'm just so... He looks a little weird. Oh,
appealing.
I'm sorry.
Well,
no.
The serious...
Sex sells.
Well, but no. Not with those tattoos and all over... No.
Some people like tattoos.
Well, some, but that... I don't know. That's not our serious.
We're appealing to the tattoo-loving audience.
But, you know, so much for Sirius trying to stay hidden.
Yeah, true.
Pop it out in his regular form in a train station.
I know.
Come on. What are you doing?
Hello?
What are you doing, Sirius?
Not very good.
You know, actually, what they were going to cut was there was a scene where Sirius was taking photos of the train station and the structure.
Uh-huh.
And the bobbies came over and spotted him and said, hey, you're not supposed to take photos in here.
Or wait, was that you?
Oh, that was me.
That was you.
And then they're like, aren't you the escapee Sirius Black? And then he disappears.
Uh-huh. You know, John, I wonder if those, what do they call them, bobbies over in the UK, in England?
The bobbies.
Be looking for you again next time, you know?
They probably listen, they monitor my Skype conversations if I talk about photoing structures anymore.
Probably.
I gotta monitor my flicker.
Right.
Okay. Well, when we got those photos, they were in the Entertainment Weekly magazine, and there was an article, and it's not a quote, but this is a pretty good magazine, and it said, while nothing's finalized, David Yates is expected to return for film 6, which we can't take as a...
I'm gonna say that's probably correct.
I think Entertainment Weekly is a pretty reliable source.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will shave my head.
And we've heard rumors about this, but we've heard rumors about this in the past, and we've actually put it on Wiki that there's been rumors about this in the past. So to hear it was just corroboration. I feel like it's one of those things where everybody knows it's coming back, but the ink isn't dry on the contract yet. And
well, and look what happened the last time when they said, Emma Watson's not going to come back, and suddenly, boom, lo and behold,
suddenly after $5 million was added to her contract, hey, Emma's back.
I know.
Stop.
But.
Well, what else? I think the only other kind of big news is that Daniel Radcliffe's going to appear on American Idol. What? I gotta tell you, I was watching American Idol, watching American Idol for myself, and I heard them say Helena Bonham Carter, and I got like the little light flickered in my brain. I was like, they're going to say Daniel Radcliffe, and sure enough. So what do? I was like, I got to post it on Leaky now. So I get up and I'm going over to the computer, look on Leaky, she's already got it up.
Now,
it's like 5
for all
minutes
of,
long.
I think it's going to be pretty awkward to watch their performance of I've Got You, Babe, together, because it's a very awkward ship. Bellatrix
Harry
and Harry. There's a few fans of it, but...
He's not singing. He's just appearing. They're doing this big Idol Gives Back thing where they're congratulating themselves for being very charity-driven. I'm sorry. I hate those specials. I hate them. It's terrible. I love the charity work. I love that they're doing something. But I just hate the whole self-congratulatory feel of it all. But
if
I know
it raises the money, I mean, because the money does proceed organizations like Save the Children and other things. So that's a good thing.
Right.
There is some question, though, as to whether or not he's actually going to be – it is being recorded, taped live next week in Los Angeles. But I don't believe Mr. Radcliffe will be there. I think that his – because he's still doing Equus.
Yeah.
Right.
He's so busy. He's doing Equus. I mean, he can't come go out.
Let's hope he at least changes out of his Equus costume before he records the American Idol appearance. Otherwise,
what do you think Simon would rate that? I don't think that would go over too well.
Simon would be like,
I just think it's hilarious that he's appearing on American Idol.
I know,
Idol,
American, Idol. Right, right.
Know.
But
turn on the
you know,
British
I think
Idol.
It's great. Pop Idol. That's where it all started, actually. Yeah.
Well,
anyway, no, I love that they're doing this and it's going to bring, you know, but every time I see the little ribbon that says Idol Give Back,
I know.
Alarms the cheese factory.
I mean, because a lot of those programs are
Oh, they make gajillions every night.
True.
No, they should be giving back. I'm
ripping the
whole
country off.
But, I don't know, but he's not going to be singing. No. Well, I mean, we don't know that for sure, but pretty much.
There was talk about him covering the Hippogriff song.
Oh, that'd be rocking. That would be cool, man. Him and Jarvis Cocker up there would be awesome.
I know.
Well,
he's always talking about how big a rocker he is.
Maybe.
Somebody should call him out.
I think that would be great. Okay,
well, we got people calling in
people
here.
Out, why
like
don't we
crazy.
Call people in? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
How about Marge?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's see if Tom's around.
Hello, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi.
My name's Tom and I'm from England.
Oh, England. Lovely. Have you seen the book covers by now, Mr. Tom?
I have seen the book covers by now.
And what is your humble opinion?
I've got a theory or speculation about the UK kids cover.
Oh.
I can see Howself holding a sword, possibly the sword of Godric Grindel and Harry's back. And I think that this indicates the unity that will take place between the magical species and the war against Voldemort and the Death Eaters. What do you guys think?
I think that's probably exactly what that means, Tom, is that we're going to see some cooperation with the House Elves and how possibly other wizarding species or magical species as well.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of a creepy image. If you look more closely at that art, all their hair is being blown forward, which would suggest that they're moving backwards. And
they're falling.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if the Elves are
into something?
Pulling him backwards.
It could also mean treachery.
Mm-hmm.
What if they were trying to get to like some location, and the elf came out of nowhere, and was like jumped on Harry's back or something, and was trying to like push him off this cliff, and now they're falling, like into a big vat of lava or something, like Mount Doom-esque a little bit.
You know what I find really interesting about that art? Is of everybody on that cover, the elf or the goblin or whatever it is the only one in control. It's very, casually
right.
has his hand on Harry's shoulder, is gripping the sword tightly. Whatever we can see of him doesn't seem concerned or wild or falling. So, I don't know. I'm leaning towards it being somebody who's causing this.
That'd be really scary. If it was a creature.
I know,
betraying them.
But would he be able to hold the sword of Godric Gryffindor?
Right.
And why would he be holding it on the cover? It has to be iconic in some
Only
way.
A true Gryffindor can do it.
It's true.
Right.
No. Only a true Gryffindor can pull it out of a hat. I'm pretty sure anybody can
summon
pick it up.
Well, no, it's like the sword and the stone, though. Like,
I don't think so, John.
No one can lift it.
You know, Harry could pull it, we know, from anywhere. And then once it's around, I'm pretty sure anybody could pick it up.
Yeah, because that's just what's why it makes sense that it's creature holding it. Because if it is Harry that you know, has some sort of control over it or power, where's wielding that power, then maybe that's why. Maybe, I don't know that he's causing it. Maybe he's just hanging on for dear life and he doesn't have to worry about it because he's a smaller creature.
Well, here's the thing about if it's a house elf. If it's any of the two house elves we're most familiar with, if it's Dobby, he's helping Harry for sure, obviously. If it's creature, he's bound to help Harry. So if it's a house elf, this guy is helping them. But what if it's a goblin?
It could be because it's Gringotts.
You think it's Gringotts?
I'm not sure. I wonder what the hole is, like the ring in the background.
Right.
Yeah. I read an interesting theory that they're at Hogwarts there, and that all those jewels and things and hourglasses are the house points tabulation system.
Or the rest of the...
Why would they have money, though, at Hogwarts?
With all that money?
Lunch money?
I do think if the ruby thing holds up, if it's rubies because it's something of Godric's, then the reason that all that armor represents different houses is because it represents Hogwarts. It doesn't just represent Gryffindor. He's got armor. You know, Gryffindor was a warrior, so.
Mm.
And then there's the red background with the color of Gryffindor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
So did you like this cover overall? I mean, were you happy when you saw it?
Well, when I first saw it, I was really disappointed, and I've never felt that before, but I'm coming around to it.
For which
I just think Hermione looks really odd.
Hermione does look really odd.
It looks like they're seeing what Dumbledore saw when he drank the potion, like, their worms here.
They're all looking in different directions, which is odd, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're not looking at any one thing, they're just reacting to what's going on around them. But, am I right?
It's creepy.
Somebody told me that Jason Krakoff does not read the book before he does this art. Is that right?
That can't be true.
I can't be true.
They get bits and pieces. So.
Erica Prey reads it. She reads it.
Mm.
But I'm not sure about Jason Krakoff. They don't really talk about him much.
Mm. No, they don't. They don't. I would be surprised, though. Like, I agree with what John said. Even if he doesn't read it, he'd have to have some sort of semblance of an idea of a storyline what's going on,
yeah.
You know.
You can't draw it.
Didn't we hear about that from, like, a Mary Grand Prix interview recently? That's, like, they're given specific passages that reference certain imagery that they read.
Mary Grand Prix gets the book. Period. I'm not sure what happens with Jason Krakoff, but Mary Grand Prix has delivered the manuscript. 100%.
Provocative. Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
Have to move on to the next caller.
Okay.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Tom.
Bye.
Hi, this is Pottercast. Who are you?
This is Allison. How are you?
Hi, Allison.
Hi.
I just spoke to my 9-year-old. Hi, I would really like Pottercast to call me. What do you think, Tom?
Right? Oh, perfect.
Awesome. See, it was magic. There you go.
It's like magic. It's everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so excited that you called.
Yeah, well, tell us your theories about the book covers.
Okay, I guess my biggest one is I keep looking at chat and it says that it's Dobby hanging behind Harry on UK children's cover. And I really think it's Griphook the Goblin from... from Gringotts.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that is because one is he's got a long pointy, not that like ears. Two, he's got a bald head, and she pretty clearly stated that the poke is a bald head. I have a puzzle that my kids have that has a picture on it from when the Sorcerer's Stone came out. And it has a picture on it that is very similar to that, where it actually has Hagrid and Harry, who both have the look of terror of, like, Hermione and Ron do. And then it has a goblin on the front of it, and the goblin has kind of that same determined look on it that Harry now is wearing in the front cover of the book. But I'm putting in a little cart. But the Archway of Stone is kind of the same Archway of Stone, and there's pieces of gold flying away from the cart as they're going on with this puzzle. And just kind of very at the core in my mind that that's happening. And then, you know, the goblin thing also goes too, because there's goblin made armor in book 5 and there's an awful lot of it in that picture. So
we'll assume that they are in Gringot. And that is Griphook. What now? What are they doing there? Are they looking for Horcruxes?
Yes. In the first book, it said if you go try to break it into a vault, terrible things would happen to you if you weren't accompanied by a goblin. And probably because of Bill Weasley, they can get the goblins on their side. But I think that they're going to get into Godric Gryffindor's vault somehow. Either that Hagrid, the Keeper of Keys, has it, the key to the vault, or that Harry finds out that it's part of his legacy, that he should keep it that vault.
Both very cool ideas. Mm-hmm. We just talked to somebody who had was talking about that goblin, elf-ish looking person, too. So it's all the buzz right now is what's going on with that guy.
I'm excited to find out either way. Every time one of these new big announcements comes out on Leaky, I spend hours just kind of sitting in that, trying to find things that go together in pieces. And
yeah.
fit the puzzle.
Yeah, and then we get emails from people who say, I've researched it, but I don't want to post it because it will be spoilers because I'm right. People who don't do that. So we're glad when people do that and they take it all with a grain of salt and take it all in fun. But we definitely get calls from people who think that their research is totally 100% correct.
Right. But it's so much fun, though, isn't it, though, just to go out there and see, because all the different theories are so, it's so fun to see all that and put it together, and it's just...
I just think sometimes that I have pretty much been following Leaky every day for 2 years. Yes, a small obsession started by a kid.
Look who you're talking to. Look who you're talking to.
You're right. We can relate. We understand.
But I get this brilliant idea that I've thought up, and then I go and search it, and somebody else already has that brilliant idea. So if I don't post very much just because it's not really my idea, then it's, a joint idea. But
it's all good.
Very excited about the whole thing. And, I've been watching the buzz about the symbol on the spine of the UK edition, and clearly I don't think it existed before put on the spine, but I'm not sure if Joe put it together or if the artist put it together based on what her text was.
Yeah.
But
I think probably the artist based it on the text, because especially with the British edition, there are no visual aids in a British edition, even in the Finnish British edition, whereas we might see visual aid in the American edition,
Mm-hmm.
So I would guess that's a pretty easy thing to describe. She would probably describe it as, either it's a rune or a symbol or something, triangle with a circle inside, bisected,
Yeah.
Right. But if it existed as a previous, like in alchemy or through the Freemasons or just historically in Egyptian symbols, it would have shown up with somebody Google a description, and I think there's like 20 pages of comments right now.
Yeah. Yes, good point.
Somebody did say it resembled a Solomon, and then we got some other thing saying it's this, it's that, and probably in all likelihood it's just what, J.K. Rowling made.
Right.
The ring was there.
But I do think it is either symbolic from a religious point of view, and I know that a lot of people get upset about that, but I see very strong symbolism tying the books to Christianity and or even alchemy. And in light of the comment that was posted from Accio Quote, where they mined it from several years ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, that Joe really is wanted to be an alchemist, I would not be surprised at all if it had to do with ring and the fire and the triangle being the joining of the three,
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for all your theories.
I'm so excited that you called. And
yay!
Well, we're excited to have
fun. I've taken the test, and I'm a Hufflepuff at heart, and my husband was probably for my next birthday, he's going to get me a license plate that says Hufflepuff, but if it weren't for your bringing Hufflepuff to the forefront, I'm not sure that I would have been okay with that.
Oh, but you know what? I love it. That's great. Hufflepuff is hard work. You should be proud because you get the job done, baby.
I am, but the book at the beginning when Draco says, "Well, I think if I was a Hufflepuff, I'd just have to leave." Of course, Draco's not my role model, but
certainly not.
When you wear your heart on your sleeve, you don't want people to tell you that.
That's right. Right. Well, very cool. That's awesome. Yay! Go Hufflepuff!
Yay, Hufflepuff!
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye!
Hi!
Hi, you're on podcast.
Cool.
What's your name?
What's your name?
I'm Elizabeth. I'm from Michigan.
Hey! All right! Yay, Michigan!
So tell us your thoughts on the covers. Pick a cover, any cover, and lay a theory on us.
I don't know. I guess I really probably like the U.S. cover the most, so I guess I'll pick that one. But, I don't know. I've been trying to figure out where they could be and I don't know, I've read some theories, like, people saying that they're in a stadium with, like, people watching them fight or something. I don't know if that would be it or anything, but trying to figure out, too, in the background, if those are, like, supposed to be people or gravestones or...
I think they're people. I'm going to go with people on this one.
Me too.
Some of them look like people, and some of them are a little bit too round to be people. I don't know.
Why? Slam Voldemort's butt to the ground while everybody is watching. That's why.
Yes.
It happened.
It's very old, like, Roman Colosseum deathmatch style. It's like, live or die.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic way to end it. A huge, great way. Bring everybody into the ultimate arena and go gladiator style, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm sure it's probably going to end up like a big fight, like episode 2, Star Wars, when like everybody jumps down into the thing, and like all the Jedi are going nuts.
What do you think they're doing? They're reaching out for? What do you think? What do you think that's happening with those hands?
Oh, I don't know. I was trying to think that too. Like, if they are like, you know, in a Roman Colosseum type thing where everybody's watching them, it doesn't even look like they're really fighting. Like, Harry has his back pretty much to Voldemort, so I don't know. I guess they could both be reaching out for like the last Horcrux or something. But I don't know.
You know, Voldemort does look a little bit like he's reaching for whatever's around Harry's neck.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Harry's looking away. Mm. Watch out, I'm going to snitch it from you. But maybe not.
What about the snitch?
That's exactly what it is, John. You solved the mystery.
A snitch could be the Horcrux. What if it totally?
That'd be awesome.
What if it was like a really important snitch from like back in the day of like a really important match and
Bowman Wright snitch.
Voldemort was like a huge Chudley Cannons fan or something.
That's totally a Tornadoes fan. Come on.
Aw, no.
Chudley Cannons fan.
Caribbean.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, it's Pottercast. Who's this?
Hi, this is Greg.
Hi, Greg from Canada.
Yeah.
Hey.
Talk to us about the book covers, Greg.
Okay. Well, first off, I really love all of them. But the one that I really loved was the American cover.
Okay.
I think that's just because I think it's ultimately probably going to reflect the ultimate theme of some of what we're going to see in the Deathly Hallows.
Mm.
Yeah. Just as soon as I saw that imagery, I was just thinking of that scene where, you know, Dumbledore and Harry are talking about, you know, choices and the it's in that chapter, Horcruxes. And, you know, Harry says something, you know, to the effect of, you know, there's a difference between being dragged into that arena and going in on your own with your head held high.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, just that whole connection, you know, that's exactly what I thought when I saw that image, that sweeping image.
Wow.
There's an arena. Oh. Holy crap. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all about, I think it's all going to be about choices and, you know, just being dragged with this motivation that is within him. And I think we see him doing something very proactive in that scene, so I was just like, wow.
Yeah, and he's got his head held high. Like, he's living out exactly what he said, that it is going to be a fight to the death, but he's got his head held high. Like, ooh, I like that chill.
Yeah.
Very good, Greg.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We love you here in Canada, by the way.
What part of Canada are you in?
I'm in Toronto.
I love it.
You get
wrong. Prophecy, baby. Yeah.
You bet. Rock on.
Honestly, we can't wait.
I'm in the UK cover though, but and I really do like the UK cover. I mean, it's a different focus, completely. Mm-hmm. But it was great to see the trio on there.
Totally. The funny faces making trio.
Is that the cover on which we've had the trio? I think it is.
Totally, it is.
I think so. Yeah, Harry, Hermione, and Prisoner of Azkaban for our version. Harry and Ron are in.
I think the last time Ron was on a cover was Chamber of Secrets, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Harry and Ron were on Chamber of Secrets, and I think that's about it. But all three of them together.
It's Hermione's big break.
That's
and I don't know what's up with the weird robes. I have no idea what's going on. Well, I sort of have a theory about the UK cover.
Okay.
I'm thinking Gringotts, definitely. It could be Gringotts. I mean, there's also, I think in Prisoner of Azkaban, they mentioned something about it, like an Egyptian branch of Gringotts that Bill works at.
Right.
I'm not sure what it is tricks or doing some traveling to the Middle East. I have no idea. They're sampling some of the local wear. I have, you know, could be something like that. I have no idea. But I also thought that the orange on the cover might be like Dragonfire or something like that, because they talk about dragons guarding Gringotts, and I think that it could be something like that.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your theories.
Cool. Thanks a bunch.
That was great. It was nice talking to you, Greg.
Thanks, guys. No problem. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Hey, you're on podcast. What's your name?
Hi, it's Lindsay.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey. Well, you guys called me.
We've been calling all kinds of people tonight. It's been insane. Well, where are you from, and what do you think of the book cover?
I love the book cover. I saw the book cover. I thought, beat my pants. I think it's awesome.
That's what I did.
What a coincidence.
I wonder if anybody else peed their pants.
I really think it's the most gorgeous cover that's so far. Like, the tone of it is so awesome. I love it.
You're referring to the U.S. cover?
Yes. Cover.
Yeah, that gold cover is just such an orangey gold. Such a
the color of it is so, I know.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to let you guys know that what I thought about it. I agree with Melissa. I think that the Deathly Hallows are the land beyond the dead, beyond the veil. And I think that in the picture on the U.S. cover, Harry has to go beyond the veil and lure Voldemort there by threatening or telling him that he will destroy the remaining Horcruxes is why he's wearing the locket. And I think that the Deathly Hallows arena might be veil room, the death room, the ministry from the Deathly Hallows point of view. So, I also agree that Harry is reaching for Fox at one time. I think he's understood that he might have to sacrifice himself to go beyond the veil. And at that point, that ultimate act of love for his friends and the devotion to the path that Dumbledore sent him will call to him and offer him escape from the Deathly Hallows, leaving Voldemort and his Horcruxes behind. And I think that's just...
behind the veil. That is cool. I've been hearing a lot of veil theories lately. And
really?
One of the cool things that I remember reading about was how those figures in the background were, you know, shadows of the people that Voldemort had killed. And they're all coming to watch this. That'd be so...
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was also thinking, like, maybe, you know, once Harry left, you know, Voldemort that left there with the ghost people he's killed.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
they're none too pleased with him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was talking with my brother about this, and he thought that perhaps the rubble in the bottom of the, at the bottom of the picture,
mm-hmm.
is that Harry had to leave, Ginny, Ron, and Hermione behind on our side of the veil and told them, you know, if something happens, you know, destroy the veil so Voldemort can't get back through. So, you know, and which would give even more reason for we need to come to him to give him a method of escape, so.
Well, that's wood, though, isn't it? And the veil is made of stone, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, the arch, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the art.
I know.
That wood is completely baffling me. A, why it's there to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it has to be an important point. Unless she's just adding wreckage and destruction to the scene.
Yeah, maybe. It might be just from them fighting, but, you know.
Right.
Voldemort could have done, like, this wood spell.
Wood spell?
He was?
He could, like, conjure up a bunch of wood to try to throw at Harry.
Harry's
like, are you kidding me?
All right, well, thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You know what, John? You haven't been on a podcast in so long. We haven't talked about your reactions to the book yet, to book cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple. I fear I don't have many unique now that so many people have gotten a chance to talk about it. But one of the things, one of the smaller parts about it that I have come to think about lately is the bit around Harry's neck in the U.S. cover. I do not think that is the locket. I think it's far too big to be the locket. It looks more like a pouch to me. And I am assuming that this pouch is one of these magically expandable containment areas that Harry is storing the Horcruxes that he has found and destroyed around his neck to protect them. But it's totally not the locket. It's totally some kind of pouch.
Interesting.
That's what John says. Hey, welcome to Pottercast. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Matt. Carl from California.
Cool.
Excellent. We appreciate the microphone.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing awesome. We are talking book covers. What do you think of the book covers?
I think that in the U.S. edition, I'm looking at right now, I think that they're actually, Harry and Voldemort are actually at the Deathly Hallows, which is a place. I'm not quite sure what to make of it as far as the wood and the stone at the bottom. So it's been confusing me. It looks like they had some sort of battle or something that's going on there. But I think that wherever they are, it's an actual place, maybe a graveyard of some sort, the shadows in the background, maybe Voldemort's past victims.
A lot of people seem to be saying his past victims. And I think it's interesting because you have to wonder how shadows of victims can come out of a wand if they aren't, if their souls and beings aren't in whole somewhere in the ether and can, you know, and can come back together. So I think it has a lot of weight that it might be past victims, and that maybe what happened in book four, it's the reason that she talks about that book being so crucial for so many reasons, that could be one of the reasons that we see that these lives live in another place and that they could turn out to be important, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that in four, they come out of like this golden bright light kind of thing when Harry is the cause of their summoning, but
and it has
possibly
Song.
Their darkest. Yeah.
And Phoenix Song comes from like that golden dome.
Yeah, there could be a counter to that it takes place when Voldemort is summoning them for some reason.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting that the shadows do seem to be in some sort of a circle around them too, like they're watching but not participating.
Yeah.
Do you know, when we had our last Doomed live podcast, somebody said that they thought it was very interesting how in book four, when Priory and Compassum starts, Harry and Voldemort are lifted off the graveyard and onto a spare patch. And that's where all this takes place. Why were they lifted off the graveyard? So I've never thought about it before, but it's an interesting point. When you think about Hallows and what that all implies, you know?
Yeah. That is quite interesting. I think that the reason they were lifting off the ground in book four was kind of just to get them away from the Death Eaters. I don't know why exactly that would have happened, but is it possible that they could be lifted to a completely different place? That maybe they were lifted to where they're at right now from somewhere else, completely different and far away?
If this happened in book four because their wands, which are a representation of their selves, are forced to do battle. What happens when they themselves are forced to do battle, when their souls, their beings, are forced to engage in battle? Is that how this is all elevated to a larger extent? You know?
That could be. I think maybe that connection, that the powers that Voldemort transferred, will come back to play right there. Somehow they would, I'm not sure how that would work. That's interesting to think.
Anyway.
Well, cool. Well, thanks a bunch for your thoughts.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Pottercast. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Steve from Toledo, Ohio.
Hey, go Bucks.
Hey, go Wolverines.
Happy with Ohio right now.
No.
Oh, no.
Not be happy with Ohio right now.
Aww.
Sorry about Georgetown, but we got creamed anyway, Melissa, so you should feel happy about that anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine, then I'll
call. So, thanks for calling, Pottercast.
Well, have you seen the book covers yet?
I have seen the book covers, and I think they're wonderful. I do have a question. Is she trying to do a crossover characterization with Dr. Seuss? Because I thought I saw the Grinch's hand and the cover.
Oh, you know.
Like Voldemort?
There's a hand with Harry, and I couldn't understand what it was. It looked like the Grinch to me.
Uh-huh.
No, John, you said that last time.
He's not.
It's the Grinch.
He does look a little bit like the Grinch. That would be a huge twist.
If Voldemort started singing songs in the seventh book, I think we could turn it into a Broadway show in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He could sing Grinch.
I hope Voldemort has that same paunch belly that the Grinch has.
That'd be awesome.
That's the best. And those feet that point out as well.
Yeah. Sitting on a recliner, popping some butter beers, that'd be great.
He's a lazy Grinch.
His heart grows so big that it pops out of his chest, the way, you know? Love it.
Definitely.
Great analogy.
Well, what else is on your mind tonight, Mr. Steve?
Well, I was curious on the topic, or on the cover, because they put Harry back on the cover, but my sources tell me that this book 7 is all about Neville Longbottom.
Ooh.
Sources?
I'm not making it up. That's my theory. And this is all about Neville Longbottom and his plot to overthrow Argus Filch.
What did Argus Filch ever do to anybody?
He's done a lot to a lot of people.
Well, wait.
And Neville's gonna finally get him back for all that stuff. He's a rude guy. Not nice to the kids, and he tortures them.
That's true.
Or he wants to torture them at least. I'm not sure that he has in these books, but he has in the past, and he just wants to get him for all that stuff.
Well, Neville would be the guy to do it.
Neville's good at that kind of stuff. He's good at facing adversity, and I think he's the guy for the job. So that's what I thought. That's my theory on what this book's going to be all about.
It'll probably be a bit of a giveaway, though, if they put him on the cover, though.
Right. I think she was trying to trick everybody.
A little misdirection with putting him
on
there.
Yeah, a little misdirection play. That's right.
Well, she's a tricksy one.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Oh, you didn't happen to see the UK cover, did you?
Didn't happen to see the UK cover.
Oh, you've got to get around to seeing that. It has the whole Harry, Hermione, and Ron on there.
No kidding, all three of them this time.
Yep, and no Neville, though, sadly.
No Neville.
That would have been huge.
Huge.
No Neville at all.
No, that's a disappointment. We're holding out for the French cover.
For Neville, yeah. Well, I think what I thought was that she was going to try to launch book 7 into kind of a whole series about Neville and his life after Hogwarts and whatnot. I think, I don't know, it'd be interesting to me.
I bet we could get at least a few chapters out of that.
Well, he's going to be the new, you know, herbology professor, I think. So I think you could be right, Steve.
Yeah, if there's one good at it, it's herbology, that's for sure.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. We'll have to keep on the lookout for Argus and see if we can't maybe get an interview with that guy. See if he has any insight from Joe.
And if they don't go that route in the book, my gut tells me is that Argus Filch will be the Horcrux.
He'll be a Horcrux?
Yes.
his entire person?
Yes. Well. Some parts more than others, but yes, I think him as a whole is a Horcrux.
Okay.
We'll be on the lookout.
You just keep everybody posted on that, and make sure you give me credit for that one.
We will. Your name is officially, your name is written down for that theory. It's in the
right.
books.
That's awesome.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Lot, man. That's great.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Pottercast.
No problem. Have a good night.
Thanks,
Steve.
You too.
Bye-bye.
I love when Pottercast listeners show John up. I love it.
With the joke.
Well, there's a very good reason for that, but maybe
yes,
at the end
I
of the show.
Yes, I think so. That's funny, though. Oh, God, love it. I love Pottercast people. Y'all rock.
John,
very good.
John, is that your cousin?
That's my brother-in-law.
I thought it was.
He taught me everything I know.
No wonder he was so freaking
I know. I thought so, though, because he was a little too familiar with you.
That's like John Noe humor. What is this about?
But it was so funny, though. It was awesome.
John Noe humor is very much Steve humor.
I think so.
But let's push on here. Yep. Oh, man. Hey, it's Pottercast. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm from Eastern New York.
From where?
Hi. Rochester, New York.
Cool beans. Hello, how are you?
I'm really good.
Well, what is your thoughts on the covers for Deathly Hallows?
I sort of have a theory about the U.S. cover.
Okay.
I was sort of thinking that the cover is the Veil Room from the other side of the veil, because I really think that the Hallows show the veil, except they represent the veil and the between the living and the dead, the world of the living and the dead. That Harry has to go beyond the veil. So.
What do you think, Sue?
Oh well, I think that the Hallows are objects, but that is that they do have to go beyond the veil for this scene that they're in right now. But it's interesting.
Well, I was sort of like the theory of Harry having to go into the one, because I'm a fan of like his Dark Materials where the main characters have to do that, and I thought it would be really cool if Harry had to do that as well. So.
Well, a lot of people, you are not alone in that opinion, that is for sure.
Yeah, so I have to wonder if that's the reason he won't, you know? I mean, I think it's part of the whole hero journey, but I think there are so many iconic pieces of literature that she has to struggle not to be compared to.
Yeah.
But I sort of think that, you know, like, his Dark Materials is not, like, really one of the more common, cliches and fantasy.
In Britain, he's like revered as like a Shakespeare for that work.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant. If you haven't read these books, read them right now. But in the UK, from what I hear, they treat his books with complete reverence. You know, I don't know.
Well, the other thing I liked about that is I thought that the shadows in the background could sort of be like the souls that went beyond the veil. So, and maybe that they'll have to all carry in some way.
Yeah, I believe that too. I agree that I think that those are the ghosts of his victims. I just think that would just be poetic justice for them to all be there to watch that, you know. So I'm with you on that.
But that golden light could be, again, imbued with Phoenix Song. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
What's your name and where are you from?
Hey. I'm from Southern California. Right now I'm in Irvine in the garage of my office.
Okay.
Very cool.
Well, this is Frack, everybody, our friend Frack, who we have tried to get on this show many times, and he has had horrible luck. Woohoo! Every time.
Frack is our resident leaky illustrator who has profound opinions as an artist about the book covers.
Absolutely.
He was actually consulted from Grand Prix at the time.
Yep, totally.
For opinions.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very true.
So what do you think, dude? What do you think? Give us a lowdown.
I really like it. In the meantime, like, since last time I talked to you guys, I was looking at just some of the other country ones and whatnot, and I think it was, today I was looking at the I think it looked Hebrew, I couldn't tell, because it was another language on the website, but I just Googled it, and, like, those are really, I want to see the seventh cover for that, because that one's, like, they're literal, illustrated pretty much, but, like, the UK one and the US one, I'm thrilled about, and I can't get over, I keep thinking about the whole wandless stuff you guys mentioned before. Like, they don't have wands, and it's really interesting, you know? And then just technically, the artwork is like, I'm really liking her color scheme she picked.
Yeah.
It's a nice contrast between like the tone of the story, and the cover's like really bright. But then it makes Voldemort even more menacing, because he's green and red and like dark, and the rest of it is almost his complement with this kind of bright, ready orange, and so he's just kind of conspiracy theories on the cover very nicely. So,
well, there's been a lot made recently about wandless magic, as we've had lots of reports from the Order of the Phoenix film that not only did they keep the scene at the beginning of the film when Harry does a Lumos spell with his wand out of his hand, but also there is some heavy wandless magic happening in the Voldemort-Dumbledore battle. And the fact that this is a possibility in this world and that Harry could be up to some of it in Book 7 is very exciting.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, even the Animagus, they can do wandless magic. You know, it's a form of wandless magic.
Sure.
Like, Sirius was able to do it in Azkaban. So, like, I'm glad that they're kind of exploring that more. You know what I mean?
Because
it's not just some, like, fluke, like, oh, it's just convenient for the story. That's, like, possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but during my Harry Potter dreams, I'm always doing wandless magic, and it's always the dopest thing anyone's ever seen.
Does it have anything to do with occhioing food?
I am always occhioing things that are on the shelves and burritos off the bar on the counters.
Okay.
It's delicious.
I think it's time.
Is it time to move on from Frank?
Talking about his dreams about burritos. It's always time to take a move somewhere.
Oh, no. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Frank.
I think this time it'll work.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Bye, dude.
Hello, welcome to Pottercast, the one and only podcast tonight doing call-out shows.
Pottercast.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. This is actually my first real time using Skype, so.
That's awesome. What did you think of the cover?
I thought it was really awesome. I thought it might be behind the other end of the veil in the like the waiting room of death or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they might be reaching for Wormtail. Who's going to grab him with his silver hand?
Oh,
it's kind of a loose theory, but I really like it.
I think that's cool. Wormtail could be all, you know, in rat form.
Yeah.
Flying around with Hedwig.
Yeah, I think it works.
Hey, I wonder when he's in rat form, does he have a silver paw?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, must
be so cool.
It would.
Well, thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you. Hey, it's Pottercast. Who's this, and where are you from?
My name is Mario. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. How's it going?
Mario!
Hey!
Faison, how you doing?
Doing great.
you got any New York in you?
No New York. Sorry about that.
Aw.
Okay. Well,
so who am I talking to? Melissa, John?
Sue.
Hello, Sue. How are you?
I'm well.
Steed.
I'm Steve.
Say hi to Steed.
Steed and Jeff.
Hi, Steve.
And Jeff and Matt.
Matt. Or MJ.
And Jeff and Matt. How's it going, guys?
And Hagrid.
No, not Hagrid.
No. Tony Mazza. No, we're all doing awesome. We're all talking book covers tonight, dude.
Yeah.
What do
you guys think? What's the general consensus been on the last few phone calls?
It's been that John should never compare Star Wars and Harry Potter again.
No. Everybody's thinking that the UK cover's showing Gringotts and a goblin, and that a lot of people are thinking the US cover's showing something behind the veil and something creepy and general and all that.
Well, yeah, no, I definitely, you know, had a couple of my buddies over this weekend, and we were doing, among other nerdly things, discussing the covers, which was a lot of fun. And I printed out a big, I don't know, whatever, had it up on my wall, and we were looking at it, and it definitely seemed like that was within the veil with the curtains.
Yeah.
But with the UK edition, my brother swears he sees a dragon in the reflection of Harry's glasses. I don't know, but who knows.
Dragon.
Now that would be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't they mention in, I forget which book, that there's dragons in the gods? Because, I mean, we're assuming he's in Gringotts, right? I mean, I don't know, where other vault could there be?
Maybe in a pyramid.
Maybe in the mysterious dim passageway on the Marauder's map.
Yeah, see, thank you for mentioning that, Bab, because I think that those passageways, there's 7 of them, by the way, that make a difference, you know? So you could be right. You could be right about those passageways.
How many things has she mentioned that, you know, she didn't come back to later at some point, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm taking a look at these glasses because.
Well, you can see, and if you look, like some of them have them, you can see almost like two faces and like Ron and Hermione, too. If you look really close, it kind of looks like there's like reflections of faces too.
Jeez, man,
it's awesome if you get him really, really good.
In his glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it kind of looks like there's gold, but who knows?
Yeah.
Hold on.
But there's some. I agree that there's definitely something reflected in those glasses for sure.
I'm looking. Can't get it up.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, I'm not familiar with the UK covers formerly. I mean, was this illustrator? Is he usually hiding things in the hiding things in the images? Is that common? Or?
No, it's pretty much.
I don't know.
Concealed scene. And
yeah.
For 5, it was the phoenix. For 6, it was the cave. The moment in the cave when Dumbledore uses the fire spell. And for this, I mean, I'm looking at it, all I see, I gotta tell you, are really just some blurry yellow and red reflections. But I could be wrong.
I think I'd have to go with you, Melissa.
Yeah. I don't know. You know? But that whatever is behind Harry is freaking me out, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, oh, and also, what is Harry wearing around his neck on the American cover?
A pouch that he keeps all of the Horcruxes in. That can
all the Horcruxes in the pouch.
It grows and expands like Moody's trunk. You can fit whatever you want in that thing. You could put a broom in there if you wanted.
You must have read the book.
You'd think I'd have, but we do get privileges around here doing podcasts.
Okay, well, thank you, Mario.
Thanks, Mario. All right,
thanks. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Hello. Who's calling into Pottercast?
My name is Piper.
Is what?
You sound hyper.
Piper.
Oh, my name is Piper.
Oh, very cool. You called right in the middle of our call-out show. You have won a brand new life-size Dobby from the Sharper Image, valued at approximately $600.
Thank you.
Well, hit us with a theory now that you called in our call-out show.
And incorporate Dobby.
Okay, I think that they're going to be back. I think House Elves are going to be back, and I think that they're going to play, like, a big part in it. I think that they're going to, like, either join the bad side or join the good side, but Dobby be all like, no, be on the good side.
Now, why would the House Elves be bad?
I don't know, because they want power, and, like, maybe, like, they'll, like, do something for them to get, for, like, the bad people to get...
Yeah.
Power.
They're in House Elves.
I mean, House Elves don't even want to be free. Why would they want power?
Because, like, I don't know.
Aww.
Because, like, maybe Dobby and, like, other elves, like, influence them. And they're finally, like, I don't know. I think that they're going to, like, change.
Do you think you could Imperius curse a House Elf?
If they could, Creature would have...
Yeah!
Him during the, you know, Bellatrix
I think
all
she could Imperius one.
Send us an email with your address so we can send you your life-size Dobby.
Say these things.
All right.
Sponsored by the Sharper Image.
Real annoyed.
All right, I will.
You know.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we made it. Pottercast did not explode.
Woo-hoo.
We got through the call-out show. That was hard, guys. Those tricky moments there. Okay, Pillsbury.
It's not Pillsbury, it's Tigger. God dang it.
Thanks, Marley. Sounds more like Pillsbury to me.
That's totally
Pillsbury. There you go. We got to go a little bit more high.
That is
well, that's
Pillsbury.
Just Sue. There's no... Okay, good. Well, I had fun. I enjoyed finally hearing from fans because it's been a week of just kind of work and internal leaky stuff, so it was nice to get a break and hear from all of you.
Yes.
For sure and a half.
For what?
For sure and a half.
For sure and a half. So next week,
next
we're going to have
week.
Some special interviews. We're going to be back to our regular format. You'll hear from Jason and Steve about what they think of the cover art.
You'll hear from Arthur Levine, who's telling us why he was crying at the end
yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No. Okay, well, guys, we had a great time, and we can't wait to talk about this more in the future. Now, since there were so many of you that we didn't get to, I mean, honestly, can you guys believe the reaction to the call for phone numbers and Skype names?
We had over 500 people want us to call them, which is far
seriously,
too many.
Seriously, yeah. There was just this huge rush. So.
So.
Those of you who are already and wanted to say something and wanted to have your voice on Pottercast, you can still do that.
Yes.
You
yes.
need to record yourself with a 1 minute. If you go 1 minute and 1 second, John's going to throw it out. He's just going to hit the
I
lead.
Will. It's right out the window, off the balcony. It'll hit the bombs down on the street.
Gone.
I live in Miami. Come on.
I know, but still, you shouldn't admit that. You're abusing people in the street.
You're terrible.
Well, anyway. The bums don't have iPods.
John, we miss you so much. Okay, so here's what you do. Oh, first, you don't listen to John Noe if you want to save your soul. Second, you leave us a voicemail at Pottercast. Now, you can do this in a number of ways. Skype, Pottercast is our name, big surprise. Yeah. Leave us a voicemail there.
Which is not the preferred way.
It's not, because you can record yourself on your computer and give us a nice quality recording, and that has a much, much higher chance of getting on the show.
It sure does. Those will all go on first. If you Google Audacity, you'll find a nice little program called Audacity that is free and very easy to set up and just very fun, and you record yourself with that, save the file, attach the file to an email to staff@pottercast.com. Chloe, our witchy helper, will find it and send it our way.
Chloe rocks.
We'll do that. How about we don't give any other instructions then? That's it. Do that, because I think we'll get enough with that method. And if you have, most computers have an internal microphone. Some of you even have external microphones. Borrow a friend's microphone. Do your thing. So, reminders. What do we have? What do we have in the way of reminders?
We're going to be appearing at Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising. It's going to be so much fun. Let me tell you, this week, the Phoenix Rising is shaping up to be an awesome convention. In the next couple of weeks, we will have some updates about what else we're going to be doing while we're down there that I think some of you will really enjoy. Also, we'll be doing some panels. Remember, Saturday we're doing a fan podcasting panel and a fan journalism panel. We have our live podcast on May 17th, and I'm doing a keynote about fandom. So that should be a ton of fun.
Well, I got to say, though, for no other reason, you need to go there for the New Orleans food, because I'll tell you what. I was just recently in Disneyland with my good friend Kevin Kay and the lovely Brianna, and we went to the... Every meal we ate pretty much was New Orleans themed. And because around the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, it's like kind of like New Orleans Square down there. And it's like everything's blackened chicken and gumbo, and I had the seafood jambalaya with like crab and shrimp, and oh my god, so much stuff in it. And it's like, if this is what even like a glimpse or a glimmer of the New Orleans food, then man, I am not even going to bother with Chipotle.
What?
I know. Well, unless they have like a blackened Chipotle burrito.
I don't know, but
that'd be nuts.
I have to go get my heart restarted right now. I'll be back.
Oh, but there's so many great restaurants. New Orleans is renowned for it, and there are some great places. You will love it. It's fabulous.
Oh, I cannot wait. If you see two ladies dancing down the street with Hufflepuff colors,
a normal person.
I don't know.
On the other one.
They'll probably have some New Orleans style food during the convention. Maybe perhaps like a blackened version of Pat Foot Stew.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
That could be good.
Anyway, we're gonna have just such a fantastic time there. I honestly cannot wait, because New Orleans is a place I've always wanted to visit, and to get to do it with you guys is just the best ever.
The cat's butt.
It is the cat's butt.
Awesome.
Where else are we gonna be?
Took us. We will be. I don't know. We're going to be a prophecy. I think we can finally say this now. You'll hear more about this soon in an official Leaky Mug capacity, but yeah.
We did record a Leaky Mug 3 months ago.
We did, and it will be released soon, we hope. But yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there, we can say, with
it's
almost
awesome
impunity at this point. That's going to be great, because it'll be a huge gathering of fans right after the book comes out, right after we've all read it. So,
and I think it's close enough to the book where we can announce where we will be during book 7. We have located a huge Borders in New Zealand.
Yep.
So we will be of the first people in the world to get Deathly Hallows.
Yep.
And have it entirely read by the time the Californians get it.
It'll be a 24-hour podcast.
Yes.
Where we all sit around and read the book, and it'll be very silent, and you hear everybody screaming and stuff when stuff happens.
I'd love to go to New Zealand, actually.
So book your tickets now for New Zealand.
No, John.
Oh,
April Fool's.
We missed John, but you missed us.
We missed it.
Oh.
No, we have no idea what's going on in book 7 yet. Nobody does. It's
no.
We're sort of trying to get our lives sorted out. So
We'll tell you. Don't make friends yet. We'll tell
I
you.
I heard Joe was going to run out of giant Bennigans.
Do they have Bennigans in Scotland, do they?
John, I got to ask you.
They do have Bennigans in Scotland.
I have to ask you, John. In your absence, have you just been storing up all this stupid junk to say?
What? No.
You're just letting it all
I
go now.
I don't store things.
Oh, no.
I want to know because
it's all fresh.
I
want
to go to Edinburgh and Scotland and Glasgow and all those beautiful places, and I can't imagine that they have a Bennigan's. I mean, that's not what I'm going to be going to do.
You would seek out a Bennigan's.
Bennigan's. I think that would be
I'm going
a national
pub,
insult.
Babe. I'm going to forget Bennigan's.
Happy Deathly Hallows Day from everyone at Bennigan's.
What?
That's what they'll say to you.
So weird.
They'll sing at Bennigan.
Speaking of Happy Deathly Hallows Day, somebody, a great Harry Potter fan, made a cake.
Mm-hmm.
You guys saw it posted on Leaky. We did an interview with her, which you'll hear on next week's show. Very sweet young girl.
What?
Adorable girl.
What are we, following the Suze News?
No, it's just a teaser with...
Excuse me for giving a little preview. I was looking at old podcasts, and I saw that we previewed the first Matt Lewis interview. We don't do that stuff anymore. Yeah.
Oh, let's preview something.
We just did.
I just did.
Oh.
Where were you?
Tune in next week for Podcast 85.
Go on in. Back to the John Noe
where we
feature.
Will feature many of your submitted recorded theories about the Deathly Hallows cover.
There you go. Okay. Is it time to leave?
Oh, and about time to.
Time to go. It's wasting time.
It is. Just go. You're wasting
Welcome
time.
Our new editor, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
The M person.
He only got the job because his name starts with an M.
Who has got the job. For all of you who have also submitted interests in becoming podcast editors, fear not, because now that I am home from vacation, I will be sorting through all of those applications, and we could might as well put together a team of about 10 podcast editors.
Why not? Hey, about
we'll give everybody about 12 minutes of the show, 10 minutes of the show.
Not a good idea.
And see what happens. No, really, there's loads of opportunities for you. They may not be what you expected, but they will be fun and Harry Potter related.
Lots of
and
stuff going on.
Super cool editing projects. So if there's still a chance if you want to toss in your name into the hat. But look for emails this coming week.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Well, thanks for calling, everyone, and we'll look forward to those clips. So see you next week.
All right, boys and gals.
Bye. We've missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.